Love so amazing. Jesus, Messiah, Lord of all. Here in the newborn cry, there in the light of every sunrise, there in the shadows of this life, your great grace. It's there on the mountaintop, there in the everyday and the mundane, there in the sorrow and the dancing, your great grace, oh such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your grace finds me. There in the very breath we breathe, your great grace. The same for the rich and poor, the same for the saint and for the sinner. Enough for this whole wide world, your great grace, oh such grace. Yes, your grace finds me. There in the darkest night of the soul, there in the sweetest songs of victory, your grace finds me. Yes, your grace finds me. compare to you, my friend. I looked and I found that there's no one like you in all the earth. You take my hand, you guide me on, you show me the way to life. You lift my head, you give me hope, you show me the way to life. No one compares to you, my King. No one compares to you, my Lord. No one compares to you, my friend. I looked and I found that you're the one I needed all along. Show me the way to life. You are the way. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. The truth, you are the life. You take my hand, you guide me on, you show me the way to life. You lift my head, you give me hope, you show me the way to life. Looked and I found that there's no one like you in all the earth. Call me from the grave by name. You call me out of all my shame. I see the old has passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, given us freedom, no longer bound by sin and death. rest in your royalty. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. I see my past has been redeemed. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside. Jesus, you have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. Sing that chorus one more time and just declare it tonight. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom.
God, we thank you for the freedom that you give so freely. God, that you would love us to send your only Son. That you would come and dwell amongst us. God, you're so good to us and kind, loving. May we give that back to you, Lord, and love one another as you have commanded, Lord. May you just bless this time of reading your holy word, Lord, and just speak through your messenger, Lloyd, tonight, Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Seth. Next week, will be the Awana Awards. And so, as you all know, Awana's been going on for quite a while and downstairs. And next week will be their final night. So they're going to be up here for an awards ceremony. And you're all invited to come. We'll not be doing the walk through the Bible that week. And then the following week after that, Pastor Kerry will be back. So, woohoo! Looking forward to that. Awana is a wonderful program, and a lot of what they stress is on memorizing the Scripture. Their theme verse is, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. And tonight, we'll be looking at Proverbs again, so open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22. When we open our Bibles, we're opening words that God gave us, the God, the creator of heaven and earth, in his grace gave us. And so we want to pay particular attention to these words. As a believer, we all have the Holy Spirit within us who teaches us. And so our equipment is the Bible and the Holy Spirit, and then to learn what God has for us. So it's really important. Rachel, is it possible to turn off the beam that is shining off the top of my head? I don't want to blind people out there.
Well, you're looking good.
Thank you. Yeah, I can actually read my Bible now, which helps. Okay. What we're going to do tonight is hopefully get through three chapters in Proverbs. And we'll start out with one-off verses like we've been seeing for several chapters. And so each verse is two lines, essentially. And they're standalone verses. Then in chapter 22 with verse 17, the method of presenting the material changes. So I'll talk about that when we get to it. But we're going to go through these first 16 verses fairly quickly. And what I like to do in Proverbs is give you a chance to formulate your own thoughts in your head about what is in this verse and try to paraphrase it. I'm not going to give you a whole lot of time to do that tonight because most of these things we've seen before and they're fairly familiar. But it's just some wonderful truths here. So 22 verse 1. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. The first line, a great name is to be more desired than great wealth. Now, our name means something today. You know, we say, hold up your name. And really name, but in the time when this was written, most Proverbs were written by Solomon, so that was about 900 years before Christ. Your name was who you are. It was your reputation. It was your character. It was everything that you stand for. And that's why when we sang tonight, Jesus Messiah, name above what?
All
names. Yeah, that has a lot of meaning in it. Jesus Messiah, all that he stands for, his character and everything, his attributes. And so this verse is reminding us about character and reputation. And a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. So that's really important. I wish that we had all learned that when we were young. It's still important, but how much more important when we're young? And then the second half of it says that favor is better than silver and gold. And I want you to think about something. When Jesus came to earth when he was 12 years old, remember his parents took him, and they went to leave to go back to Nazareth, and he stayed in Jerusalem unbeknownst to them. And then after a while, they realized that he wasn't with them and went back. And here he was in the temple. Remember, he was listening and commenting on scriptures to the priests there in the temple. And they were amazed at his wisdom, this wisdom of a 12-year-old. And then Luke 2, toward the end of the chapter, it says that after that, they went back to Nazareth. And he grew in strength and wisdom and favor in God. And so that's the idea here, is favor is better than silver and gold. So that favor that Jesus Christ had in his humanity with God the Father is what is being spoken of. So when we do what we're doing right now, studying the Word of God, we're gaining favor. And it's better than silver and gold. All right. Well, another thought that I have here is that what are we called? We're called Christians, right? And so there's a name, there's a reputation to uphold. And when you go out and you sin, you're really polluting the great name, Christian. Verse 2. The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. So as our Creator, God has an interest in everybody. Whether they're rich or poor, what their color is. John 3:16, most of you know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And the whosoever there is everybody. So he loved everybody. I don't know whether everybody here is a child of God. To be a child of God, you trust Jesus Christ for eternal life. And based on Christ's death on the cross, burial, and resurrection, if we trust him, we can live eternally with him. That's what a Christian is. And so that's really important to understand. But God is the maker of all. All of us are created in his image. I don't care how terrible the sinner anybody is, they're still created in God's image, and he desires that they come to him. 3. The prudent sees evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. So a person with sense sees evil and stays away from it, but the naive person will walk in right into the evil and suffer the consequences. Is there any evil to be found in the world? Yeah. Everywhere. So keep your eyes open. 4. The reward of humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. It's interesting in this proverb, these two things to go together, humility and fear of the Lord. And if you don't have humility, you don't have a very good relationship with God. If we really understand who God is, we are humbled. We are not God. In case that may be news to you, but but we are not God. How about the proud people? The proud one says, no, I'm not going to humble myself to trust Christ. I'm just not going to do it. I know somebody that's about ready to die, and that's their position. They're not going to put themselves in subjection under somebody else. They're going to go out on their own terms. Very sad. So humility and fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is respect for him, awe for him. Good grief, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the creator of us. He provided everything that we have. We should be in awe of him. And so humility and fear of the Lord, there's a reward for that. Riches, honor, and life. And I don't think it's talking about wealth here when it says riches. You can be poor and have a very rich life. And you can be poor and have great honor. And you can be poor and have an abundant life. And those who walk in the Lord just have great joy. Philippians talks about that. 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards himself will be far from them. What are these thorns and snares? Just things that trip us up in life. Yeah, sin, temptations. He who guards himself will be far from them. So we need to guard ourselves against these things. The next verse is maybe the most well-known verse in Scripture, in Proverbs. At least it's close if it isn't. So verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so, as you know, Proverbs are principles. They're not rules. And you can train up a child in the way he should go, giving him the Word of God, dedicating him to God, doing everything possible. But everybody has their own volition, and they can choose to go their own way. But the chances are a whole lot better if you train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that verse doesn't say that there isn't wandering along the way either. And we often see that in our kids, and I saw it in myself. There was wandering, but then coming back to those things of the Word of God that I was taught when I was young. It's interesting, train up there. We think of train up, you know, give your children instruction, teach them the difference between right and wrong and all those kinds of things. But the word is almost always translated as dedicate. So that's interesting. Dedicate a child in the way he should go. So what I'm thinking is, first, the parent needs to have a mindset of dedicating that child to the Lord, and then he'll do the training that's necessary to get him there. But I gave the example before of a friend of mine who wanted his child to be a great athlete. And he prayed that God would make him a great athlete. And he was a great athlete, but his life was just a disaster. And the poor father was beside himself. He said, I wish I had never prayed that. I wish I would have prayed that my child would be a wise man and understood the Word of God. So as parents, as grandparents, as somebody that's going to be a parent, dedicate your child to the Lord. Get that in your mind first. I want this child to be the Lord's. I want him to do what the Lord wants him to do, and then the training will follow. 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. That's just a statement of fact. If you borrow money, you're a slave of somebody, and the rich rule over the poor. 8. He who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. The NIV has it this way. It says, whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they wield in fury will be broken. Whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they wield in fury will be broken. 9. He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. So a generous person is blessed. A stingy person is, you can fill in the blank. 10. Drive out the scoffer and contention will go out. Even strife and dishonor will cease. So if you remove a mocker and scoffer, trouble goes out with him, and peace returns. It's true in a family, it's true in a business, it's true in just about anything I can think of. 11. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, the king is his friend. Think about that one. Who wrote this? A king, King Solomon. And he wanted his son to learn from this. So a king will want to have around him a person who has a pure heart and is gracious. A person of integrity will not be a traitor and is not there for what he can get for himself. So that's the kind of people the king wants around him and anyone wants around him. 12. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the treacherous man. So God is all-knowing. He's everywhere present. Nothing happens in this world, even in the United States, that he doesn't know about. And he preserves knowledge. The English Standard Version has, he keeps watch over this to preserve. He keeps watch over knowledge to preserve it. And I think this is important for us to remember. We see non-biblical information being passed out all the time. But the truth of God's word will never be wiped out. So, for example, God's word says, God created us male and female. In spite of what people try to do today, that's that truth God will preserve. Another one. We'll destroy the earth by burning fossil fuels. The Bible's very clear who will destroy the earth. The earth's going to be burned up. It's going to pass away. But who's going to do it? God is. Yeah, we're not going to destroy the earth by burning fossil fuels. So relax. God knows everything, and he's still sovereign. Yes. 13. The sluggard says, there is a lion outside. I will be killed in the street. I've tried this to get out of work, but Charlotte always knows that there really are no lions out there. God does have a sense of humor. 14. The mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who is cursed of the Lord will fall into it. So why would you put yourself into this position where the woman can seduce you with her words? Stay away from her and you will not fall into the pit. 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. So unfortunately, all children are born with an old sin nature. And I like the way this is stated. Foolishness is bound up. It's just, it's there and it's bound up and you need to get it out. And the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. 16. He who oppresses the poor will make more for himself. He who oppresses the poor to make more for himself, or who gives to the rich, will only come to poverty. There are a lot of people that are out there getting money from poor people. It's just amazing. You have enough more poor people and you scam money from them and you end up with a lot of money. Churches do this. It's called prosperity gospel. If you can't outgive God, you give to the church the last penny and he'll just pour out blessings on you. So look at the car, look at the house that the preacher lives in those churches. I've spent some time in Nigeria, and Nigeria was a former British colony, and it was really Christianized. So there are a lot of churches. In the part I was in, it's the Christian part, which is the south. In the north and east, it's Muslim. But where I was, there are churches everywhere, on almost every corner. And they're goofy churches. But prosperity churches, they're just all kinds of them. And the pastors I was working with are just a wonderful group. The mission that supports them gives them $25 a month. And with that and with their gardens and things, they can, and the little bit of money they get in their churches, they can support themselves. But if they're really a good preacher, the prosperity churches will come and say, look, we'd like to have you come and be our pastor. We can give you $500 a month, a car, a nice house to live in, and you just have to preach the way, you have to give the information that we want you to give. It's so sad. It's just Christians there oppressing, robbing from the poor so they can get rich. But the second half of this verse, or he who gives to the rich will only come to poverty. And that's the person that's giving the rich to try to buy a favor. It's not a good idea. They're not talking about paying the rich for a product. It's talking about paying him to get some favor. Well, that brings us now to a whole new section. And so from Proverbs 22:17 all the way through the end of 24, there will be now multiple lines, multiple verses teaching a saying. And the first part of it will go through chapter 24, verse 24:17. 24:17, 24:6, let's see, let me look. If in doubt, read your notes. 24:22. Then in 24:22, there will be some more sayings, six more sayings. So in the first section here, there are 30 sayings. So starting with 22:17 through 21 is an introduction to 30 sayings. In some of your versions, in verse 20, let me read it. Verse 20 in my New American Standard says, have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge? And some of your versions may say, have not I written to you 30 sayings? Well, that's not in the original, but it says 30 sayings because there are actually 30 sayings that will follow. And so I'll go through them. Where there are multiple verses, we'll take the multiple verses, and if you keep track of it, we'll end up with 30 of them as we go through it. But first is the introduction. So I'll do verses 17 through 19. So we're in chapter 22. Incline your ear and hear words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer him who has sent you? So Solomon's just saying, I'm going to give you words here of knowledge. These are words from God. Listen to them very carefully, and then you'll be able to answer people when they come to you with questions. So, number one, 22 and 23. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them. So there again, we have people who would like to rob from the poor. Why do they rob from the poor? Well, they can't afford an attorney, or they're not going to have somebody that's going to step in and help them out probably so he can get away with it. That's the idea. And it's interesting here, it says, or crush the afflicted at the gate. What happened at the city gate? The cities had walls around them, and at the city gate, everybody went through it, right? So at the city gate is a place where they held court. And so what it's saying is, don't crush the afflicted at the gate. Don't crush the afflicted in court. Sometimes that happens today. Who will be their defense attorney, according to the next verse? The Lord. I don't want to be on the wrong side of him. How about you? Okay, 24 and 25. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. That's pretty straightforward. It's going to get you in trouble. It's a snare. 26 and 27. Do not be among those who give pledges, among those who become guarantors for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take your bed from under you? We've seen this several times in Proverbs, and here it is again. Do not be a guarantor of somebody else's financial problems. So all it'll do is make an enemy between you and the person you tried to help. So as we saw before, if somebody really needs money, just give him the money. And don't sign for whatever he's trying to get. 28. Do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set. They used to mark boundaries with stones. You can move stones. When you move a stone to increase your land, what are you doing? You're stealing. Exodus 20:15, do not steal. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. So there's nothing like somebody that's really a skilled worker. I like watching this old house on television. Those guys are so skilled, it's really impressing. And they have some really neat places to work because they're so good. And I could only hope to do that, but I always learn something when I watch it. 23. When you sit down to dine with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put your knife to your throat if you are a man of great appetite. Do not desire his delicacies. So if you're invited to a meal with an important person, you ought to think about why you're there. Maybe that he wants to get something from you. In any event, don't make a glutton of yourself because you're being carefully watched. The delicacies that it mentions in verse 3 may be offered to try to get favors or information. So keep your guard up. Somebody doesn't invite you to do something, or somebody doesn't give you something for no reason unless they're a really good friend. Verse 4 and 5. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone, for wealth is certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. So you don't start out life by desiring to build wealth. What should you start out life desiring for? Wisdom. Glorifying God. Serving Him. I had an employee, we always had to do performance appraisals once a year, and so one of them, they had a question, what do you consider to be your greatest achievement? And he considered his greatest achievement having accumulated a certain number in his 401k that he was quite proud of. I thought, man, that's your greatest achievement? Good grief. It can go away. I worked in the utility business, and I was very familiar with PGE and all the travails that they went through. But there were linemen that were millionaires in PGE. Probably many of you know that. And when Enron went down, their wealth went right down with it, with Enron. 6-9. Do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you, and you will vomit up the morsel you have eaten and waste your compliments. So scratch your head a little bit on that one. Why would a selfish person ask you to come to a big dinner? He's not in the habit of giving stuff away. So he wants something. Probably something that has great value. And I like verse 8, you'll vomit up the morsel you've eaten and waste your compliments. You might as well not bother complimenting this person. And what I always think of, one time a salesman, this was very early in our marriage, a salesman came and he was trying to sell freezers and said that if we listened to his spiel, he'd give us free steaks. And I only fell for that once, but this one time I fell for it. and he wasn't getting very far with me, so he turned to Charlotte and he said, Charlotte, wouldn't you like to have a freezer? And she said, yes. And then he turned to me and he said, would you deny your wife a freezer? And I said, yes. And so so he left. And I said, well, wait a minute. We didn't get our free steaks. So he took the free steaks and threw them in the yard. And, you know, those steaks didn't taste very good. That was my fault. But I did learn. I didn't repeat it. Let's see. I didn't read 9. That goes with this. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, or he will despise the words of your wisdom. Yeah, might as well save your breath. Okay, 10 and 11. Do not move the ancient boundary or go into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their case against you. So there again, the defense attorney is God. And again, don't try to steal property from somebody else. Boundaries are very important. And do not go into the fields of the fatherless. What's that talking about? Well, the widows in these days were in bad shape. And the farmers were required to leave a certain portion so that the widows could come in and glean and get food to maintain life. And what this is saying, don't go in and take what's left for the widow. Good grief. Why? Because God sees everything. He knows everything. And He will plead their case. 12, apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. This is the 10th saying and introduces the next 20 sayings. So the next 20 sayings will have some of this in them. Most translations have instruction here rather than discipline. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. And the word discipline, you have to tell from the context, is it talking about instruction or is it talking about the switch or is it talking about both? Sometimes it's both. But I think this is really talking about apply your heart to instruction. So we're never too old for that, right? And your ears to words of knowledge. Where do words of knowledge come from? The Word of God. Yeah. The Word of God. 13 and 14. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with a rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. Well, that wouldn't be very popular in today's culture, but doggone it, it's the Word of God. And I don't think we should be ashamed about it. I don't think that we should teach anything differently. There's a time when the switch needs to be applied and appropriately. And if you don't do it, there'll be problems for that child. Yeah, right. I just got done reading a book that was really good. It was about this young, it was about a man, a boy, who had grown up in a home that was very dysfunctional. His father was a multimillionaire, self-made man, just tremendous skill at making money. And his mother was in the movie industry, very beautiful. They got divorced when they were five, and his mother would let him smoke pot with her from the time he was just a very young child. And their attitude was, you can do whatever you want, just explore and determine what you're interested in. He was very rebellious in school and finally was kicked out before he was 10. So then they loved him. They wanted the best for him. So then they tried to decide, what are we going to do with this kid? And so they enrolled him in a number of boarding schools. And the first one was extremely strict, and that didn't work at all. So then when he was a young teenager, they found a school that would allow you to do whatever you wanted to do. You didn't have to go to class. You could the way it was presented was we don't separate the boys from the girls, but he found out that wasn't true. They did separate the boys from the girls, and of course that didn't work. And then he ran away, did all kinds of things, and eventually he was living in a cave in California, and in that cave there was a Bible. He began reading the Bible, and eventually he came to know Christ, and he's now a pastor. Wow. But it's just a tremendous story. But this is what happens. You know, his life was turned around by the grace of God, not by anything the parents did. What they did sent him off in the other direction. It was just the opposite of what Proverbs would tell you to do as a parent. Okay, 15 and 16. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. And how true this is. As a father, I just can't think of anything better than to see when my sons are wise, they make wise choices, they say wise things. And the opposite is true, too. When you see them not do that, how sad it is. 17, 18. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. So don't envy sinners who seem to have it all. The immediate pleasure from sin cannot be compared to the joy that will result from a life of fearing the Lord. And that is just absolutely true. Those who humble themselves and fear the Lord have a life of tremendous blessing and joy. 19 through 21. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe one with rags. So drowsiness results from too much eating and too much drinking, and it's just going to put you in rags. We'll see more on this truth. Unfortunately, I think every family at one time or another experiences people in the family or extended family that have ruined their life with this and those around them. 22 and 23. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Give wisdom and instruction, and get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Just a tremendous truth. I don't have anything to add to it. 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. So wisdom taught to children benefits them, and what a glory it is to parents to see their children walking in the Lord. 26 through 28. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she who lurks as a robber and increases the faithlessness among men. So this is a warning to men to guard against sexual sins. If you're occupied with Christ, we'll not be occupied with sexual temptations. So if this is a problem, feast on the Word of God. Spend your time in the Word of God and the tremendous blessings that come from it, and your mind will be set on that and not on something else. Psalms 119:11 says, "How shall a young man cleanse his ways?" What's the answer? According to your word. So do it according to the word of God. That's how we cleanse our ways. Stay in his word. Keep your thoughts and eyes on God and stay in the Bible. 29 through 35. This is the longest one. This is the longest saying. And it's the 18th of the 30. And we've seen, it's on drunkenness, and we've seen it before. 29, who has woe, who has sorrow, who has contentions, who has complaining, who has wounds without cause, who has redness of eyes, those who linger longer over wine, those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup. When it goes down smoothly, at last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things, and you'll be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. It's a powerful thing. So we go to the ads on TV, and it's presented in a wonderful, happy, you know, here's how to have a good time. But this is the other side of it, and it's when we spend too much time, we drink too much. This is the result. Describes it. This was written 3,000 years ago. Has anything changed? No. Okay. 24, 1 and 2. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. So don't envy these people. Don't even associate with them, because there's no future in it, and you'll only be ruined in the process. 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So this is true of a house that is being built, and you can think of any other endeavor and apply the same thing. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. For by wise guidance you will wage war, and an abundance of counselors there is victory. Now I doubt if anybody here is a king or the president of the United States, but the fact still is that listen to wise counselors before you make major decisions. 7. Wisdom is too exalted for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. The gate is, the place where court is held, where the counselors of the city sit, and the fool has no place there. 8 and 9. One who plans to do evil, men will call him a schemer. The devising of folly is sin, and a scoffer is an abomination to man. So that's pretty straightforward. 10. If you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. This one maybe doesn't just jump out at you, but when distress comes, when problems come, if you falter under that, you're probably not trusting God for his deliverance and his strength. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. But anyway, there is no temptation that is overtaking you which is common to man. But God is able, and he's the one that gives us the strength to get through it. 11. Wait a minute. Is that where we're on?
Yep.
Okay. 11 and 12. Deliver those who are being taken away to death, and those who are staggering to the slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, see, we did not know this, he does not consider it who weighs the hearts. And does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to a man according to his work? What this is saying is that if you see a person who is in trouble, help him out. And don't claim you didn't know about it. We're there to help each other, and we need to have our eyes open. And when the opportunity comes, take it. 13:14, my son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul, for you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. So seek wisdom. Seek the word of God. The word of God is sweeter than honey, we know from the Psalms. 15 and 16. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not destroy his resting place. For a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of calamity. Why can the righteous rise seven times? Because God brings us up. 17:18. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. So don't gloat over your enemy's failures. God will take care of your enemy. Leave it to him. 19 and 20. Do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked, for there will be no future for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. Don't envy evil, wicked. They'll lose in the end. 21, 22. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change. That means those who are unstable. For their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin that comes from both of them. So fear God. Fear the Lord and the king. Fear the Lord and the king. 23 through 25. Those are the sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judgment is not good. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous, people will curse him, nations will abhor him. But to those who rebuke the wicked will be delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. So with these sayings now, it says, these are the sayings of the wise. The 30 have been completed, and there are now six more that will be stated. He kisses the lips who gives a right answer. To give a right answer is a pleasurable thing. The kiss of the lips is a pleasurable thing if it's done sincerely. 27. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then build your house. What's that saying? Get the crops planted first. Then you have food to eat. You'll live to be able to build your house. So what's the bigger lesson? Prioritize things. Prioritize what we're doing. 28. Do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Do not say, thus I shall do to him as he has done to me. Well, I think we've all said that from time to time. Don't do that. Do not be a false witness or be deceptive in court. 29. Do not say, thus shall I do to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according, God says, I will render to the man according to his work. So let God take vengeance. 30 and 31. I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. When your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. So drive around town, look at the yards. if somebody's infirmed and old, they can't keep up their yard, and it really bothers them that they can't do it anymore. They usually talk about that. But a lazy person, that's a sluggard. He's just not keeping things together. So being retired, I find that if I get up in the morning and say, what am I going to do today? I never get anything done. But if I have some plans for the day from the day before, I usually get something done. Or if I make a list, I get something done. So we need to discipline ourselves in our spiritual life and in our everyday life to get things done. Well, that completes a portion of Proverbs. 25 will start with a whole nother section, and Carrie will be here in 2 weeks to introduce that. So it was kind of a race here at the finish, but what great words of truth. It's just amazing. So we'll close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, your word is truth. As you prayed for us in the garden, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. So, Father, we are set apart by your word to live lives pleasing to you. Father, we pray that for each one of us. We pray that the eyes of our heart would be open as we take in your word, that we might understand what the depth and the breadth is of these great truths and be able to apply them to our lives. Father, you've said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So we would ask this for us, Father. Might we have wisdom in our daily lives? Might we have wisdom in our interaction with others? So we thank you for your great and precious promises. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us in the study of God's Word with Pastor Carrie Wacker. We'd love to have you join us in person for worship each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. We also meet Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Warren Community Fellowship is located at 56523 Columbia River Highway in Warren, Oregon, between Scappoose and St. Helens. For more information about Warren Community Fellowship or about WCF Ministries, call us at 503-397-4387. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.